Welcome to another exciting episode of The Harvest with me, Carmel Fisher. Today, I am super excited to be hosting Mr. Chad Hufford, a best-selling author and over a decade's worth of experience owning and running a financial planning firm. He is based out of Anchorage, Alaska, and he manages, Chad, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe $500 million currently. Firstly, welcome, and then you can confirm whether I'm right or wrong.
Well, Carmel, it's a pleasure being here, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and also to encourage your audience and hopefully give them some important insights. And yes, it's about $500 million, $500 million that we manage for folks all across the United States.
Wonderful. So, you know, bring us up to speed with your background and how you got to this, which sounds like a really large, lucrative portfolio. Bring us up to speed with how that has come about.
Well, we kind of have a boutique type firm. We actually don't have a ton of clients. We just have a handful of very dedicated families that really want a better, brighter future for themselves and are willing to do the hard work to get there. And I grew up in the financial services industry. But as you know, my plan was not to go into finances. My degree is in biochemistry, so I have a little bit of a interesting path to opening my own financial planning firm and wealth management firm. But I grew up seeing how important money is, not just in the financial aspect, but how finances have a ripple effect into every area of somebody's life. And it's a great tool to be able to use to help people build a more abundant life.
Amazing. And what a journey. I mean, how does one go from biochemistry to financial planning in Alaska, I might add? How has your scientific background unexpectedly prepared you for this career in wealth management?
Well, I chose biochemistry for a career in medicine, and it was the hardest degree that I could find. And it checked all the boxes to prepare me for my MCAT, for my medical examinations. So it was a good fit there. But a big part of it was just, it was the hardest degree. Very few people graduate in the United States with biochem degrees. So it was something that was, it made me a little bit of an outlier, which my hope was to stand out in resumes and in applications to medical school. But what it did do, well, number one, it kept me out of trouble. I didn't have time to get in a lot of trouble in college, so it kept me focused. But what it did do is it forced me to get really good at juggling a lot of different variables simultaneously and making sense, to take a bunch of different issues all going on at one time and creating a comprehensive narrative or plan that tied all those things in together. But I think the biggest thing, Carmel, is it proved to myself that I had the grit and the perseverance to do difficult things, because that's exactly what we ask of our clients. And it was a self-test, a tangible reminder that I had the grit and perseverance to take on challenging tasks and see those things through fruition.
Wonderful. You know, I love that, because to your point, you're mentioning that this is exactly what we expect our clients to do. And so you're coming from a perspective of, I'm not just having read a ton of materials and trying to guide you along a path, but actually I've lived through the experience and know what is required, which leads me to the next point of you believing that, like, you know, I think there's a big school of thought around this. Clients' mindsets are crucial, right? Why don't you explain to us more why you say that? I think obviously you've touched on your journey and the grit needed and all of that comes with a strong mindset to begin with. But then also, how has your helping a client to change their mindset shown a great transformation in their financial success?
Well, mindset is vitally important, because you can't just know the right thing, you have to do the right thing. And whether we're talking about building financial health or physical health, the right thing is often a commitment to very difficult behaviors, sometimes painful behaviors in the moment. It requires a lot of sacrifice, again, a lot of perseverance. And you can have all the information available to you, but if you don't execute on that, it's not going to do any good. And just think of, like, from a fitness example, I know fitness is a huge part of your life. It's important to me as well, but you can study how the body works. You can have a PhD in kinesthesiology or or biochemistry for that matter, and sit on the couch and have a sedentary lifestyle, not do anything. And a lot of times in finances, it's not the most educated. It's not the people who are necessarily even the smartest. It's the people who have the right temperament, the right perspective that find the most success, because all the graphs and charts in the world aren't going to help you stay the course when you're in the middle of a major recession or a market crash, or when you've lost a spouse or your business is going under. Like, there's so many things that can happen. Look, I mean, just looking back at COVID and the uncertainty that forced people into, like, nobody saw that coming. And we had no idea. Like, every day was so different. The world was changing so quickly. People were losing jobs. We didn't know what business was going to look like. Charts and graphs and information doesn't help. It's a mindset, and it's not just being able to have a good plan. It's being able to execute that plan relentlessly.
And I think you're touching on another thing I'm curious about, and if there were any surprising parallels you've come across between achieving physical and financial success, since you've been such a high performance athletic trainer and wealth coach. What parallels have you come across?
Well, number one, it's not somebody who necessarily has the best tools, but it's how they use that tools that makes the biggest difference. And, you know, think of it, we just got done watching the Olympics a few weeks ago, and, you know, they show these videos of people in, you know, maybe Jamaica, some of the sprinters, and obviously it's changing. They have access to much better equipment and training facilities now than they did 20 years ago, but Jamaican sprinters were dominating the field back when their training facilities were very, very limited. And the point of that is you can always be looking for the newest tactics, techniques, the best technology, and that stuff can be helpful. But if you're not executing, if you're not putting in the work, none of that matters. And again, it goes back to mindset and temperament. The people who are willing to do the things that others won't, to make a sacrifice today to have a better future tomorrow, both in athletics and finances. Those are the people that find the most success, not just the people who have access to the best tools or the equipment, you know, if we're thinking from a health standpoint. You know, giving somebody access to a better gym, a nicer exercise facility, doesn't get them in any better shape. It's actually changing our own behavior and how we interact with the opportunities that are in front of us. That's what makes the biggest difference. I saw that in athletics, and that's why that coaching background is so important, because I've actually taken a lot of performance psychology into this, because that's what investing is. It's performance psychology applied to a different medium. How can we do the difficult things today to put us into a position to have a better future tomorrow?
Wonderfully said. Now, we did touch on the $500 million that you manage from Anchorage. Now, has there been anything specific about doing business in Alaska that has given you some kind of a unique perspective on global financial markets?
Maybe not a unique perspective on global financial markets. I mean, obviously here in Alaska, we are very dependent on natural resources, specifically oil. I mean, our Alaskan economy pretty much runs on oil. People don't like to admit it, but it does. So that's very important to us. But one thing I will say about Alaska is Alaska is a place where independence is and freedom is honored and revered in maybe even a higher level than it is in different places in the United States and different places in the world. Like, people don't come to Alaska because they love certainty and they love consistency. It's more people looking for adventure, people who can tolerate ambiguity more. And I think those are necessary things. I mean, the financial markets are constantly changing. If you're somebody who has to have certainty about tomorrow, it's going to be very difficult for you to invest properly and to create a future. But for people who really value independence, I mean, that's what we're really going for. It's not just to make a bunch of money. It's about getting people to a point where they have a job optional lifestyle, where they no longer need their career, or their paycheck. And people who have have independence as a higher priority in their life are generally willing to do the extra work necessary to create that. So it was just that it's been incredibly valuable to me to be in a place where we're surrounded by people who place such a high value on autonomy and freedom. So those are the folks that we work with, and it's a great fit.
Awesome. What is the most common mental roadblock that you've witnessed that prevents people from building wealth, and how do you help them overcome that?
One of the biggest things that we run into is people seeing financial markets as something to be timed or something to be beaten. People talk about beating the market or beating this index. I believe that the wealth that is created by companies across the globe is so powerful. We don't need to beat an index or beat the market. We need to capture it. And so often people are so focused on trying to time a market, to outthink the market, that they actually don't capture it very effectively at all. Another big thing is people treating volatility like the enemy. Again, going back to certainty and ambiguity, people treat volatility as the thing that we need to avoid. I believe it's something we need to embrace. Temporary uncertainty, temporary ambiguity, that's what creates long-term returns. And that's something that folks have to figure out, again, how to capture and leverage, not how to avoid it.
You emphasize the importance of habits in financial success. If there's one that you could instill in everyone, one financial habit, what would it be and why?
Well, first of all, habits are so important because this isn't about getting rich quick. It's about building wealth slowly. And it really does come down to habits, just like your personal fitness. So you can go and have a great workout today, but if you're not able to sustain that, it doesn't really matter. One good workout every month or every year is not going to do anything for you. You're actually better off with mediocre workouts on a regular basis than you are with one great workout every now and then. And again, we don't go for mediocre in finances, but the point is sustainability. It's not what you do today that matters. It's what you do every day that makes a difference in your life. So the one thing that I would instill, the one habit, this is going to sound so simple, but very few people do it. And it's living within their means. It's having an ego that is less than their income. Because if you've maxed out your credit card, you've maxed out your budget, you've maxed out your life, no investment strategy is going to help. Doesn't matter how great your investment tools are if you don't have enough money to feed them every single month because you have no margin. And I think having more margin in your life can carry over into every area. You know, we have maxed out credit cards, we have maxed out calendars, we have maxed out waistlines here in the United States. And it's a problem across all fronts, but simply living within your means and having a buffer, having income that you can use to pay off debt, to build future wealth, and to simply have a buffer between the uncertainties of life is the number one most critical variable, because nothing else matters. Everything else is built on that foundation.
100%. Makes total sense. And moderation is key, right? Well, as a Dave Ramsey Smart Vesta Pro, which I believe their main philosophy is having a client-first mentality, how do you then go about balancing the way you follow a specific financial philosophy with then tailoring advice to individual clients and their needs?
Well, I like how you even said that question, because it is tailoring to individual client needs. So we take general principles, tried and true principles that have worked. I mean, Dave Ramsey didn't invent these things. These things, the philosophies that Dave Ramsey teaches come out of Proverbs. They're like 3,000 years old. They've been working for a very long time. Our job is to take those broad principles and apply them to somebody's individual financial path. And that's the beauty of what we get to do, is getting to know individual investors and their families, find out what is really meaningful and important to them, looking at what their roadmap and their track is, and creating something specifically for them, not a one size fits all, but something tailored to their own financial needs.
Wonderful. And since you mentioned Proverbs, you do teach about finance, fitness, and faith as pillars of an abundant life. Can you explain any moment or moments where those three, faith, fitness, and finance, have met at an intersection that created a major breakthrough in your own life?
In my own life. Well, we don't have enough time to get into this into a lot of detail, but when I was 19 years old, I had a fatal exposure, or was exposed to fatal levels of carbon monoxide. And we had a heat exchanger in our house crack, and I was the only one home. And I slept in it all night, and it should have ended my life, many times over. And it took me a long time to physically recover, but also to emotionally recover. I was very angry. I was sick for a long time. I was very, very weak. I lost about 30 pounds. I couldn't do anything. I could barely get up the stairs. And when I got past the anger, what I realized was now I'm 20 years old, and that should have been it for me. I should have been standing before God and giving an account for my life. And it would not have been pretty. I was living very selfishly, and I was doing everything for myself and not for others. And I came to grips with how important it is going to be to have a life that impacts others. And I believe that every day is a gift from God, and my gift to him is how I live that life, how I live every day. So having that realization how fragile and finite life is, and being so close to losing it, it really gave me a renewed sense of vigor and intensity for living in a way that doesn't just make my life better, but makes the lives of those around me better. And I've just been able to use finances as a tool to do that.
Incredible, and happy you've got to, you know, survive and tell the story. And I do want to unpack that more in coming podcasts. But to stick with topic and theme, your company emphasizes the importance of a clear and defined path in financial planning. How do you help clients who come to you with super vague and conflicting financial goals to kind of crystallize their vision?
Well, we tell people that vague goals lead to vague results. And it's important to have clear, measurable objectives that mean something. So people that come and say, I just want this money to grow as much as possible, or I just want to grow wealth. It's kind of like somebody, just to use another fitness example, like if I were to hire you as my personal trainer, and I just said, well, I just want to lose some weight, or I just want to get healthier. Well, what does that look like? If I skip a meal and I lose 6 ounces, well, I lost some weight. Am I done? But people don't have clear, measurable objectives. And Carmel, there's a world of difference between somebody who is strategically investing based on a desired outcome and somebody who's merely collecting investments. And a lot of the people that we run into when they come to us have been collecting investments. There aren't specific measurable targets. So one of the first things we do is help people come up with what those things are. And a lot of those goals tie back to this idea of financial independence and no longer needing a job. So one of the variables that we ask people to come up with is how much income would you need hitting your checking account every single month to give you the freedom to give up your paycheck and still live comfortably? And that's a big win when people come up with that number, just knowing how much money they need every month to live comfortably. And people aren't going to get that number perfectly, and that's okay. That number can change. And just you think of, like, you know, if you've got a map app on your phone, if the destination shifts, the map recalibrates to get you back on track. And that's the same thing as the financial plan does. But we want to always have a destination in mind. The destination can change. We'll revise the plan. We'll recalibrate. But we want to always have something we're working towards, a plan that we're executing, a plan that we're acting on, because we're then much less likely to react to this crazy world around us.
Excellent. Yeah, I love all those points. And, you know, I think high level, a lot of us get that. But as life unfolds, you tend to maybe get a bit more waffly as you're moving through this high intensity, high information overload world we live in. I'm speaking for myself, but I do have many conversations, you know, with a variety of people. And like, again, we get that on a cerebral level. But as life unfolds, oftentimes it's easy to get waffly.
Well, if I can just mention one more thing on that, Carmel, because I know that your audience is not average folks. they're more ambitious, they're more driven, they're more focused. Another thing that is so critical, especially for that type of person,
right,
to have clear, measurable goals, is that they're finite. There's no goal line for wealth. There's no referee that comes on the field and says, all right, you've made it. You have enough wealth. And there's so many people that end up chasing wealth for wealth's sake, and they don't have an outcome attached to it. They don't have an objective. And wealth is one of those things that will never tell you enough. And it can be this carrot that just dangles in front of your face. And the closer you get, the further out it seems. It's like chasing a horizon.
Right.
It's beautiful, it's enticing, but you're never actually going to get there. So when you have clear, measurable objectives, it allows you to know when enough is enough. You don't always have to do more, 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 more.
Yeah, very well said. Thank you. Now, you mentioned making clients better investors and not just finding better investments. Can you walk us through a process of transforming an actual client's investing behavior and mindset?
One of the first key things is creating ownership and agency, reminding people that they are the biggest variable. They are the linchpin to their own success or failure. So much of what we do in my industry, not me personally, but my industry, focuses on everything that we can't control. What is the economy doing? What are geopolitical events looking like? Here in the United States, we have an election coming up. What are interest rates? All those things we can't control. When people spend their lives focusing on what they can't control, it can create a sense of learned helplessness, where we start believing that everything that matters to our success, to our trajectory, we can't influence. And it's a very disempowering feeling. So one of the first things we do is we establish agency, making sure people understand that they are the solution, but they are also the problem. And managing their behavior is the number one critical element. It's not about the tools. Again, it's how you use them. Just like getting people better gym equipment won't help them lose weight if they never go to the gym. You think about it another way is, if somebody's a poor driver, giving them a faster car, giving them more horsepower doesn't fix anything. So it's just getting them to really understand that as the operator of their investments, that's what our focus is. And getting them to understand that they have agency in the trajectory of their life, and getting them out of the passenger seat into the driver's seat of their own life, taking control, taking responsibility of maybe what went wrong, and creating a plan to make those things right.
Excellent. Now, financial freedom means a variety of things to different people. What does it mean to you, firstly?
For me, it means getting up every morning and getting to go to work and serving others and not having to, knowing that I no longer need a paycheck ever again. And I can be much more critical about the jobs I take on, the work that I do, because I don't have to do anymore. I can focus on the work that matters the most to others and to myself, and living in a scenario where I can give up my job and still live comfortably, and really focusing on meaningful work. And finances don't have to, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like making money. It's a lot of fun, but finances aren't the only benchmark. And I don't need that to be a major dictating factor in the choices that I make anymore. Because some of what I do, I mean, you mentioned the commitment to faith and fitness, some of those things, they don't have a financial reward, but they're deeply meaningful to me and what's important in my life.
And have rewards of other kinds, right?
Absolutely.
So of course, that's your philosophy, your definition of financial freedom. How do you then help others who come with conflicting views of financial freedom? And maybe they're not conflicting, they're just different. How do you help them define what financial freedom is or achieve what it means to them?
Well, the first thing is getting them to understand what is deeply meaningful and fulfilling to them. Because you're right, the things that are really fulfilling to somebody else might not be the same thing to me. So it's getting to identify what are we building with these finances? Because again, investments are just tools. They're not the goal in and of themselves. That kind of goes back to what we talked about, is chasing wealth for wealth's sake. The tool is not what we are excited about. It's what we build with the tool. So one of the things we have to do is figure out what it is that we're trying to build in somebody's life. What are we retiring to? Everybody knows what they're retiring from. But what are you retiring to? What is your life going to look like when you walk through the door that first time, never needing a paycheck ever again? Who's going to be around you? What do you want? What do you want to feel like? What are the hobbies? What are the challenges? What's going to wake you up in the morning when you don't need to go to work anymore? And we believe that financial freedom should not be fleeing a career or a job. It should be pursuing a more meaningful life. And in either case, you're still running hard. But there's a world of difference between somebody running from something and somebody chasing something even more fulfilling.
Excellent. So for our viewers, please leave them with some final thoughts, any links where they can find more information, or perhaps reach out if they want to take a test drive on your financial freedom and philosophy.
Well, our website is veritasalaska.com. And one of the things that you asked about is, you know, having clear, measurable objectives. We have a tool that we'll share with your audience for free. It's the Find Your Number tool that allows people to walk through about a 10-minute exercise on their own to find their financial target, because it's very hard to hit a target you can't see. And this isn't going to solve all your financial problems, but at least it gives you a clear, measurable objective for the amount of money that you'll need to retire and remain comfortably retired for a very long time.
Excellent, Chad. Thank you so much for joining me on the Harvest Podcast. I'm Carmel Fisher. We've been having a wonderful conversation again with Chad Hufford, best-selling author and owner and running a financial planning firm for around 17 years based out of Anchorage, Alaska. We'll put the link in the description of the episode, but please stay tuned for more.
And you're listening to the Harvest Podcast, available anywhere you find podcasts. Stay tuned for more.